All right, let's get started.
You know, most of us probably have a story about running away from home, right? When I was a kid, it felt like everybody ran away from home. I mean, everybody I knew had run away from home at some point, right? Most of us didn't get very far. I remember one time I decided that I was going to run away from home, and, you know, I was going to go out on my own. I could do it myself, and I made it to our detached garage and hid in there for a few hours until I got, you know, hungry and decided that I should probably go home, right? But we probably, you know, there's probably several of you in here that maybe parents have stories of your kids who packed up their bags and were going to run away, right? Some kids didn't even make it out the front door, and we have those stories. But there are also some very sad and tragic stories. It wasn't just packing up your favorite toys and never really leaving. You really did it. Convinced things would be better, you left home and started running. You discovered how wrong you were. Life on the run was filled with mistakes, failures, and regrets. It still hurts to think about it. Life as a runaway is dangerous and uncertain. And today I'm not talking about necessarily about childhood runaway moments. Instead, I'm talking about people who have made the decision to run away from their spiritual home, from God, their faith, and everything familiar. Jesus used stories to teach important life lessons, and in Luke chapter 15, he tells three stories in response to a group of religious leaders who were criticizing him for spending time with sinners. And the first story was about the shepherd who went in search of one lost sheep. He left the 99 to find the one. And the second story was about a woman who lost a coin and searched until all her entire house until it was found. And this third story is probably the most famous one and most often referred to as the prodigal son. And it's a picture of what happens when you run from God. In this story, the father represents God and the son represents us. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, to illustrate this point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between the sons. Dad apparently had quite a bit of money, right? When dad died, the money would be divided between his two sons. But the younger son, the Bible doesn't give him his name, so this morning we're going to call him Steve. And Steve was impatient. He didn't want to wait until his dad died. He wanted his share of the money now, early. In the culture of the original listeners, this was an ultimate insult. This was the worst insult you could give, because if a son asked for his inheritance before his father's death, it was wishing his dad was already dead. It was saying, I don't care if you live or die. I just want the money. Give it to me now. The father couldn't force his son to stay or to do right, so he divided the money and gave each of his sons their share, and Scott got what he wanted, the money, right? In verse 13, it says, a few days later, his younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. This was more than just going to see the world. Steve abandoned the way of living, his thinking, his acting, and believing he had been taught everything his father stood for. He left home and all it represented for life on his own. He ran. Remember, the father in this story represents God, and the son, Steve, represents you when you run from God. You know, I've been in ministry for over 20 years, and in that time, I've seen a lot of Steves, people who make the same decision. I've watched teenagers and young adults. I've watched mothers and fathers and even other adults turn their backs on God and run. I'm not sure that I know every reason people run from God. I know a few. I know that death of a loved one has made people walk away from God. I know that church people hurting them has made them walk away from God. I know that prayers that didn't get answered the way that they wanted them to be answered has made them walk away. Some people run because God's boundaries feel like restrictions or punishments. They don't want limits or rules. They want to do their own thing, their way, and they don't want to feel the disapproval of others. Some people run because they want to prove they don't need anyone or anything. They don't want anyone else's way or God's way. They want to do things their way. Others run because disappointment with people leads to anger towards God. They respond to a deep or profound hurt by leaving God and everyone connected to Him. It's misplaced anger as they decide that mean, angry people represent God. I particularly hurt for these kind of runaways. That they misplace their anger and their hurt and they say it's God's fault. Here's what some people have said about running from God. One said, when I was 16, my home church went through a church split, and I was so delusioned by the words and actions of people that I used that as an excuse to run from God. Some serious stuff came up in my life, and one of which was one of the biggest Christians that I knew failed miserably. That combined with a couple of other events made me decide God wasn't worth following after all. Some people run because of poor relationship choices. Foolish friends convinced them that life on the run will be better. One person said, I ran from God for almost 3 years, and it was the darkest time of my life. I started my senior year of high school and continued through some of my early college years. I fell victim to peer pressure and wanting to fit in, and I did things because everyone was doing them, or I thought it made me look cool. I convinced myself that my life was carefree and perfect, when really I was depressed, spiraling out of control, and using whatever I could to self-medicate my pain. I was in denial. I watched people that were teenagers that were on fire for God and living for God, and because people decided that wasn't cool and they would make fun of them and all those things, and so that person decided, instead of continuing to follow God, I'm just going to do what my peers are doing. And they're still away from God today. Others run because it's easier to run than to face the results of failure. They messed up and they don't feel like there is a place for them anymore. They fear rejection, so they flee rejection. God can't forgive me for what I've done. I've done too many bad things. When you say things like that, that's slapping God in the face. That's saying, your son dying on the cross wasn't good enough for my sin. It was good enough for everyone else's sin, but not mine. The scripture says that His blood covers all sin. That's all sin. That's every sin. Every sin that could be, would be, or ever could be committed. Every sin. The thing about that is we have to ask Him to cover it. Sometimes people run because of an addiction. Something else takes control of their life. They're no longer in control. Still others run out of habit. It's what they've done their whole life. Unfortunately, it's often a learned behavior. They were raised by parents who ran, so they run. Mom and Dad, listen to me. What you do doesn't happen in a vacuum. It affects your children. One person said, when I got old enough to decide if I wanted to go to church or not, I did the same thing that my parents did. I found excuses not to go. I started drinking when I was a sophomore in high school, and it got worse when I graduated. I would wake up in random places, unsure of how I got there. I would go to work hungover, or in some cases still drunk, because that kind of behavior was modeled by my father, so I thought it was okay. Some people run because they're lonely. It's not so much that they're running from something. Instead, they think they are running to something. They imagine their new life will be filled with fun and friends, and what they don't have seems way better than what they have. Fantasy trumps reality. Regardless of the reason, there is little as sad as watching someone run. You know where it's headed, right? You know what's going to happen. You can predict the end result. But they don't see it. Steve ran from his father. Looking at his story, we learn what happened when you run. Verse 13 says, a few days later, his young son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. The first consequence of running is you leave home. How obvious is that, right? Of course, if you're running away, you leave home. That's the whole point of running away, right? But that doesn't seem like much of a consequence. But when you leave home, you also leave the safety of home. When you run from God, you take yourself out from under His hand of protection. It's not that God chooses to quit protecting you. Instead, you refuse His protection. When you run, you leave the safety of home and the protection of your Heavenly Father. Psalms 91:2 says, "This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust Him." When you leave home, you also leave the security of home. Security is a little difficult to explain sometimes, but it's the feeling of knowing that you belong, right? That you have a place to call home. When you run, you leave the security of home, the place you belong. You also leave the blessings of home. While my kids live in my house, they get to eat my food. They get to use my washer and dryer. They can watch TV on my TV. They can breathe my air, right? I will purchase their needs and some of their wants. But the moment that they decide that they want to run away from home or run away from God, that stops. I would be a fool to continue to provide for them when they're running away. The blessings don't go with them. I still love them, but the blessings come because they live by our rules in our home. The reason that they have what they have is because they are doing what they are supposed to do. Dave Ramsey said something, and it resonated in me. He was talking about how he showed his kids his worth and his portfolio, and when they were talking to him, he said, "This is what we have, and we are managers of this for God. And God tells, we pray and ask God what we do with this. And as long as you are living for God, you will inherit this. But if you decide that you don't want to live for God, I would be a bad manager to give this to you." When you run from God, you run away from His blessings. We want to bless you. He wants to bless you. But we won't get the blessing if we run away. You choose to lose the blessing when you run. When you leave home, you run from the love of home. Don't get me wrong, God still loves us, right? You're just not there to experience His love. When you leave home, you leave so much. Really, that should be enough to make you come home, right? Life without the safety and security and blessings and the love of home, that should make you want to come back. Who wants to live that way? But if that's not enough, when you keep running, the consequences continue. As we look at the story, you can see the pattern, and you might actually recognize the pattern in your own life. You might be early in the journey running from God. You need to know what to expect. Others of you will say, "That's it. That's exactly happened to me." Some of you might say, "That's what is happening to me right now." It's a predictable pattern. You can expect this when you run from God. In verse 13, it says, a few days later, he packed up his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. Steve's dad worked hard for that money, right? He invested that money, but Steve didn't. Steven didn't invest it. He didn't save it. Instead, he squandered it in wild living. Steve didn't run away from home to become a rabbi or a missionary. He ran away to party, and we don't know how long it took to lose everything, but apparently it wasn't very long. You look at him and say, that wasn't very smart. Well, if I did that, I would invest it. No, probably not. It was a predictable part of the pattern. When you run from God, you make bad decisions. You do things you never thought you would do. You don't plan to make stupid decisions. It's just one of the consequences when you run from God. I've seen it over and over again in the lives of people who run from God. When they finally come back, they say, what in the world made me do that? I've said that. After I came back to God, I said, why did I even do that? I still question some of the decisions I made when I wasn't living for God. Because I try to reason why other people are doing it. Why did I do that? I don't know why I did it, so I don't know why they're doing it. How did I ever make that decision? Why did I ever marry them? Why did I spend so much money on that? I don't question why I married Chelsea. Just want to clear that up. When you decide to run, you are convinced it's going to be fun for everyone. But you make bad decisions and do dumb things. And that's just what happens when you run. Verse 14 says, about that time, his money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He lost all of his money. It's part of the pattern. When you run from God, you lose. I've been reading stories over this last few weeks of people who ran from God. And one thing every story has in common is they lost. They lost money. They lost their family. Some lost marriages. Some lost their job or their career. Some lost businesses. Some lost friends. Some lost their innocence. Some lost their reputation. And over and over and over, their story is how much they lost. When you run from God, you lose. It's painful to watch. Verse 14, he says, about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. One version says, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. I would say if you're starving, you're in need. In other words, he was hungry. He had no money. He never even considered this possibility, but all his plans for fun and friends failed. That's what happens when you run from God. Your plans fail. Imagine using a paper map to plan a road trip. Some of y'all didn't even know they made maps on paper. But you can see exactly where you want to go. And you even highlight the route so you know the perfect way. But when you head out, you're met with unseen obstacles. You thought you knew what the journey would look like. You thought you could figure it out. But you're met with delays, right? You're met with disappointment. You're met with dangers ahead. You think the path is clear and straightforward, but you're headed for pain and disappointment. You didn't have the warning, slow traffic ahead. You didn't have a warning that there's something going on. You know, the red line on the GPS. Some of those GPSs don't work, though. They certainly don't work in Southeast Arkansas. There is no warning that the road ends and you find it. It's done. You can't go no further. But you looked, you had it figured out. You knew exactly what you were going to do. No, you didn't know what was going to happen in front of you. You couldn't see it. You couldn't see what was going on. The same is true in the life of a runaway. You may have it all planned out, but you don't see the dangers ahead. You think the path is clear, but you're headed for pain and disappointment. When you're in a situation, you say, how did this happen? How did I ever become this? How did I get here? This was never my plan. But from the outside looking in, we could say, how could it not happen? You left home, you left safety, you left security, you ran from God, you left love. Every runaway thinks that their story will be different. I can choose to come back whenever I want. I don't have to continue in this addiction. I can quit whenever I want. I don't have to continue doing this. If I pass the mic around this morning to former runners and people who are currently running, they would tell you it's not as good as it looks. It's sure not what I expected. When you run from God, it's inevitable that your plans will fail. Your relationship plans, your financial plans, your future plans will fail. One day you'll look around and say, wait, this wasn't in the cards. Being pregnant wasn't part of my plan. Being broke, I didn't count on that. Being addicted wasn't part of my plan. Being lonely wasn't part of my plan. I never planned it this way. I've never met anyone who said, I'm so glad I ran. Everything worked out perfectly. Some people blame God, but God didn't do this to you. Remember, you ran from His protection and His blessings. That's just what happens when you run. We teach that blessing follows obedience, but this story and the predictable pattern of running from God teaches that consequences follow disobedience. I want you to realize there's a connection between what is happening in your life and what you have decided about God. Steve was going to be rich and free, having fun with Dad's money. But all of his plans failed. Verse 15 said he persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. I'm sure that was number one on his list of things that he planned to do. I plan on being a pig farmer. From the comfort, security, and blessings of home, Steve got a job in a pig pen. How embarrassing that must have been. Steve was supposed to be special. Instead, he was with pigs. And in this time period, you have to understand the context here. This wasn't just a pig. Someone who took care of pigs wasn't like, that's a real good job. It's a job security. No, that was the lowliest of lowest. Because Hebrews don't eat pork. Where does pork come from? Pigs. So only foreigners eat this. And you have to find the people who are willing to eat said pigs to make any money on said pigs. This was a low job. When you run, you end up embarrassed and ashamed because you knew better. Most of the time, shame is the biggest hurdle for a runaway. I'd love to come home, but what will people think? What will they say? I've had that conversation so many times. I had it just the other day of someone saying, you know, I'm just so ashamed of all the things that I've done in my past. And I just can't stand before those people. Or I just can't come into church because what will people say? How could I have done those things? And so we continue on the run because we're afraid of what other people will say, not what God will say, what other people will say. It may have been, you know, it may have been stupid. It may have been dumb, but don't let guilt and shame keep you away. You can't run forever. Come home. Come home. What will people think? People who are genuine followers of Jesus will celebrate. They'll love you and they'll accept you. Forget about the critics. There's critics and cynics everywhere you go. They'll question your commitment. Don't listen to them. I don't. They need to find a better hobby. Really, they need to find Jesus, but don't let mean, angry idiots who are really enemies of the church keep you from coming home. Overcome the embarrassment and shame and come home. Verse 16 says, the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. I self-feed, and I can assure you that the pig feed does not look good to me. At no point ever has it, I went, man, I ought to taste this and see what it tastes like. Not once. Now, there's some chicken feed that smells really good. I don't want to taste it, but it smells good. But what did he get? What happened for him to get to that point? What happened to all the people who helped Steve spend all his money? Where were all the people who partied with him? Where were the people who got drunk with him? Where were they now? What happened to Steve? What will happen to you? The people who got drunk with you don't want to detox with you. The people who partied with you are nowhere to be found. You're all alone. And maybe this story describes you. You left relationships with God and you left home, and when you did, you didn't realize the consequences, but now you do. Maybe you're all the way there experiencing all the consequences, or maybe you've just started and you see some of the consequences and recognize that pattern. I can see where this is headed. What do you do? Look what Steve did. Verse 17 says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. What brought him to his senses was consequences. Reality. Steve looked around at his situation. He was hungry and he was alone and he's feeding pigs, and he'd be foolish not to come to his senses, right? What will it take for you to come to your senses? How many broken relationships is it going to take? How much do you have to lose? How many bad decisions do you have to make? How many plans have to fail? Why not come home before it gets that bad? It's time to come home. Verse 17 said, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself at home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. Steve made the decision. Even if all I do is get a job with dad, it's better than this. I'm going home. I'm going back to the safety, security, the blessings, and the love of home. That's the message of the story. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how long it's been, you can always come home. It's never too late to come home. No matter how many bad decisions you've made or the consequences you've suffered, even if you're embarrassed and ashamed, you can always come home. Your biggest fear is, when I come home, when I return to God, what will he say? What will he do? Jump ahead in the story. Verse 20 says, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. That's what God will do. That's what he will do. He'll throw his arms around you and say, welcome home. No lectures, no questions, just welcome home. It's time to quit running. It's time to come home. I want to remind you of another runaway story, one that defies this day, Easter. It's not the story of a son running from his father, but a father running towards his children. The Easter story is about God's relentless pursuit of it's the story of Jesus, who willingly left the safety and security and glory, the glory of heaven, to come to earth. Jesus lived a perfect life. But instead of receiving a crown, he was given a cross. Jesus suffered, bled, and died, not because he ran away from God, but because we did. But that's not the end of the story. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave and conquered sin and death, proving once and for all that no distance is too far from God's love to reach. The empty tomb is his declaration to every runaway. You can come home. The door is open. The Father is watching and waiting. Today is your invitation to stop running. Jesus' resurrection is your assurance that you don't have to stay in the pig pen. You don't have to live with the regret and shame or emptiness. You can come home to a God who runs towards you with arms wide open and a church family that will do the same. Hear this. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how many mistakes you've made, Jesus made a way for you. The cross and the resurrection are his message of love. Come home. Come home. Don't let another Easter pass by. Don't keep running. The Father is waiting, and he's ready to celebrate your return. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead can raise you to new life. Are you ready to come home? I'm asking everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you today for what you're doing in this house. Lord, I thank you, sir. That is for you. Keep it. That's for you. Sir, that's for you, not for everyone else. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this house. And Lord, I just pray that this morning that you begin to move in people's lives and their hearts. Lord, I pray that you just begin to bring them home. People who have run away, people who have ran from you, who have ran from your calling and ran from your blessing. Lord, I pray that this morning that you come into their lives, Lord, that you draw them in, that you welcome them home. That you welcome them home. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you today. I thank you and I praise you today. Maybe you're in this house and you are a runaway. Maybe you're in this house and you are a runaway. And you've ran away from God. And you've ran away from what God is doing and was trying to do in your life. And today you say, I don't want to run any longer. I'm ready to come home. I want to invite you to come to this altar. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. You say, I've ran from God. I'm running from God. Maybe you've already ended up in the pig pen, so to speak. And you say, I'm ready to come home. Maybe you're on the path to do that. And you say, today, I'm ready to come home. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss an opportunity for God to move in your life. Don't miss an opportunity for God to do something in your life. You won't be the first. What are you waiting on this morning? What are you waiting on this morning? If you need God to move, I encourage you to move. If you need God to move in your life, I encourage you to move to this altar. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that responded and the ones that are still at their seats. Lord, I believe that there are some more that need to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you just begin to move, that you begin to move. And you begin to touch their lives, Lord, even now, right where they are. Even now, right where they are. That you begin to move and you begin to touch, God. Lord, we know that you're able. We know that you're able. And so, Lord, I pray you do it today, God. I pray you do it today. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you today. If you feel led to come and pray for around this altar for any reason, if you need a healing in your body, if you need God to touch you, I encourage you to move. These altars are open.